Okay, tonight we're going to be learning Chagiga Daf Tesvav. Tonight's shir is sponsored, and this whole week of shirim of Daf Yomi Shirim is sponsored by Jeremy and Adina Herskowitz, Lizuchus Erefu Shalema, for Jeremy's grandfather Yisrael Ben Shmuel, Mr. Sidney Gettenberg. He should have Erefu Shalema. And again, we thank Jeremy very much for the sponsorship. Today's Daf, Chagiga Daf Tesvav, is all about Acher. It's the Daf in Shas that's about Acher, one of the more intriguing characters that we find in Shas, this person who was apparently a very, very, very great Talmud Chacham, but also did some very, very terrible things. So let us begin. The way we got into it is we were talking about the Maaseh Merkava. We were talking about those things that are distant from us, from our understanding, and we mentioned that there were four people that were Nichnasu LePardes, four people that entered the Pardes, and one of those people that entered the Pardes, and the one who and was affected deeply by it was this Acher, was Elisha ben Avuya. So we are holding at a few lines from the bottom of the page, on three lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis. We mentioned one of the other people was Ben Zoma. So parenthetically, since we mentioned that it was Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Acher, and Rabbi Akiva, we tell something about Ben Zoma. Shalu es Ben Zoma, mahu lisruse kalba. They asked Ben Zoma if one is allowed to be misares a kelev, if one is allowed to be misares a dog, can you neuter a dog? Amr lahem, he said, ba'artzicham lo sasu. Kol sheba artzicham lo sasu. Anything on land, any kind of animal, it doesn't only have to be a kosher animal, any kind of animal, one is not allowed to neuter. Shalu es Ben Zoma, so actually, before we go beyond that, so is that only ba'artzicham? Is that only animals that are on land? What about sirus dagim? I was having a discussion with my children recently. One of my children has a friend who was at our house, and for some inexplicable reason, killed one of our fish. So on Shabbos. So I was asking, how many Yisurim did he violate when he stuck his hand into the fish tank on Shabbos, pulled out a fish, squeezed it, and killed it? How many Yisurim do you think he violated? So we counted four Yisurim d'Oraisa, two Yisurim d'Rabbanan, but there might be another one, because he might have been Misaris the fish also, unbeknownst to him, that Shkoyach to Elisha for thinking of that one, he might have been Misaris the fish also, which would then be an additional Yisur d'Oraisa, if that's in fact an Yisur d'Oraisa. From the Gemara, doesn't...
He raised the suffix 7.5 years ago, that's why I thought of it.
Oh, did I? Okay. So good. So very good. Yeah. So there is a discussion in the post in the Shailas Yavitz. Rabbi Yaakov Emden discusses whether, I assume you have notes and you didn't remember it from 7 years ago. Okay. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden in the Shailas Yavitz in Simon Kuf Yud Aleph writes that it's a Dover Pashut that Dagim are also Bechal the Yisra of Sirus, because whenever it's Afilu Shorva Chamar, even a Chaya and Oaf is included in Shorva Chamar, the Gemara says in Baba Kama, and it's Lav Dafka Chayav Oaf, it means all sorts of living creatures. And he says, and if you can say the Pashut says, Uva Artzachem, and we dash and kol sheba artzichem, it doesn't mean to be memait kol sheba yam, it doesn't mean to be memait that which is in the sea. Adraba, there's a greater riboy in kol sheba artzichem that it's also the saris, even a kelev, even though it's mufka from being brought in the mizbeach. But something that goes in the yam is also included in the iser. However, Rabbi Yaakov Emden also brings a raya leheter from a Gemara Maseches Bava Basra, because the Gemara says in Bava Basra that Kodesh Baruch Hu is mesares the levyas Ubazugo, the Levyasan and the match and the mate of the Levyasan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mesaris. And the Medrash says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu observes the Torah also. So if it's an Issa D'Araisa to be Mesaris fish, how can HaKadosh Baruch Hu be Mesaris the Levyasan? So that's the Raya the other way. And then Rav Yaakov Emden says, but that's not such a great Raya, because first of all, they're in the Meidin Halacha Me'agada. You can't learn Halacha from Agadata. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with the Levyasan is all Agadata. And also, it says that he was Misaris to Behemos also in the Harei Aleph, which is a Min Behema. So certainly there's an Isra in being Misaris to Behema, and still that same Agadita that tells us he was Misaris to Leviathan also says he was Misaris Behemos. So obviously you can't learn anything from that Gemara. Plus, Sirus Bidei Shemayim is a different type of Sirus. Sirus Bidei Shemayim just means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that the animal can't have children. That's not doing a surgical Sirus. That's a very different kind of Sirus than the Isra of Sirus that we know of. Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Reish Sadi Aleph also discusses this issue, and he says you can't bring a raya from Baba Kama to say that it's usher when the Gemara in Baba Kama says that Shor v'chamor includes all chayus v'ofos as well, because he says maybe that's only chayus v'ofos, maybe it's not dagim, maybe you need a separate ribuy for dagim shabiyam. He also brings the raya from the Gemara in Baba Basra, but also says that it's not a raya, and he says especially if the isser is that it's Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the min shouldn't be wiped out, and someone who's misaris is showing that he's not interested in Maisa Bereish, he's not interested in the Maisa Bore, and he wants to destroy the world, he wants to destroy the good things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, so then there shouldn't be a chiluk between Dagim and Chayos and everything else, everything should be exactly the same, and that would explain why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets to be misaris whatever he wants, because the whole point is to show that you're in line with Ratzon HaBore. So if Ratzon HaBore is to be misaris Levyasan, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu could certainly be misaris Levyasan. Engel in Galioni Ashas brings a riot from the Gemara in Chulin that the Chayos Hayam are not included in Arzachem because it says Achvar Shabiyam is excluded from the phrase Al Haaretz. So you see that Chayos Shabiyam are not included in Aretz. So you see that Dagman, Chayos Hayam are not included in Arzachem. But again, that's a discussion at least that post can have whether one is allowed to be Masari's fish. Either way, the kid did several other Yisurim. Okay, so that was one question. Next question the Gemara says Shalos Ben Zoma, Besula Sheibru Mal Lekoin Gadol. If a Besula becomes pregnant, what is the status in terms of her marrying Kohen Gadol? Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry someone who's not a Besula, has to marry only a Besula. So she's pregnant, but she's a Besula. Are we choshish for Shmuel, who was the Gemara in Ksuvah says is a Baki Bahataya? He knows how to have Bia without causing any dam, without removing the Besulim at such an angle where he gets around the Besulim rather than removing the Besulim, and he's able to impregnate a woman in that way. Or maybe we say, nah, that's very uncommon and that didn't happen, and therefore she's not really a Basula. If a woman claims that she's a Basula and she says, you'll see that when I get married, my husband will attest that I'm a Basula, and she's pregnant, we know that she can't be telling the truth because there aren't that many Shmuels around that would possibly be able to impregnate her and keep her a Basula. He says it's not common to have someone who has the expertise of Shmuel in this area, but still it could still be that she's a Basula and she's pregnant because maybe she was Nisabra Bambati. It could be that she became pregnant in a bathtub, meaning a man went to the bathtub beforehand and what he left over in the bathtub is what impregnated her when she went into the bathtub afterwards. Now that doesn't really happen either, but this sugya of Nisabra Bambatia, it became a very important sugya in terms of determining a lot of very modern shailos when it came to issues of paternity, halachic paternity when it comes to in vitro fertilization and all sorts of questions like that. Nisabra Bambatia is the closest approximation we have of something that creates a pregnancy with the DNA of a father and a mother without a maisa bia. So what does that do in terms of mamzerus? What does that do in terms of kuhuna, levia, and yichus? So that the Nisar Bambatia is the best mashal that we have. She's if we assume that in the Sabra Mbata she'd be mutaris to the Kohen Gadol because then she's still a Basula. Berke Yosef has the following discussion: is it mutar for a person to marry someone who's a Sabra Bambatia? Because the halacha is one is not allowed to marry mu'uberes chavero. If a woman is pregnant from another man, she's not allowed to get married to another man while she's pregnant from someone else. She has to you have to wait till the child is weaned off of the mother's milk, because otherwise you have to be concerned that she's going to have this baby and she's going to immediately want to wean the child off of her milk in order that she could be able to have another child with her new husband, and it's going to be a sakana for the baby before he's ready to be weaned off his mother's milk. It's going to be a terrible sakana. So would we say that if Nisarba Bambatia is included in the gzera, well, why wouldn't you? She's pregnant, it's the same concern. So the argument would go, the Birke Yosef points out, that it's a milsa de lo shchiach, and this is a gzera de rabbanan, that a person shouldn't get married when she's pregnant. Maybe milsa de lo shchiach, maybe the Rabbanan weren't gozer in this very unusual and uncommon case. So he says, l'chora, from our Gemara, it's muchach that it's mutter, because the Gemara would have said she's asked to a Kohen Gadol anyway if she comes and she's pregnant. Forget about whether she's a Basula or not. She's asked to a Kohen Gadol because she's asked to everybody. She's pregnant from somebody else. So it should be a Dover Pasha that she's asked. So it must be that it's that Nisabra Bambatia would be mutter to marry someone else. But then he rejects the Raya. He says, maybe in the days, maybe it is part of the Gzeira, but in the days of Ben Zoma, the Gzera wasn't made yet. The Gzera may have been a later Gzera, and that's why the Shaila was still the Shaila to be discussed at that point in time. V'amar Shmuel, kol shichla zera sheini yor kechei tzeinu mazra'as, asked the Gemara, but wait a second, if we nasabra ba'ambatia, how did she become pregnant? Don't we have a tradition that an understanding that in order for shichla zera to impregnate a woman, it has to be yor kechei, it has to shoot out like an arrow. If it's just sitting there in a bathtub, then it's not the type of shichla zera that can impregnate someone. And the Gemara, dilma meikar, nami yor kechei tzava. It doesn't mean that it has to go into her kechei. It just means that it has to leave the man's body to be yor kechei. That shows that it's a very potent form of shichva zera that will then be able to impregnate a woman even in a bathtub. So it could be that it's possible that she would get pregnant. Tan Rabbanan, the Braisa teaches, Ma'isav Rabbi Shua ben Chananya Shayomir Agav Malabar Abayis. Rabbi Shua ben Chananya was standing on a pedestal in Harabayis. Vero ben Zoma, and he saw Ben Zoma. Velo aman milfanav. Ben Zoma didn't stand for him. Amarlo me'ayinu la'ayin Ben Zoma. So he's realized Ben Zoma was spacing out or was in a different world. I shouldn't say spacing out. Was thinking of different things. Was somewhere else in his mind. So he said, "Where are you going, Ben Zoma? Where are you?" He said, "Bring me into your brain for a minute." Amarlo, he said, "Sofa yisi ben mayim elyonim l'mayim atachtonim." I was thinking about the difference between the mayim elyonim and the mayim atachtonim in my subreishes. Vein ben zelaze elashalosh etzbaos, and the only space between the two is three etzbaos worth of space. Bavad, that's it. Shenem av ruach elkim rachefes al pnei mayim kiyona shemrachefes al baneha, like a dove that hovers over its children, but doesn't touch down on them. It's just three etzbaos above them. Amalan Rabbi Shul, the Talmidim, Rabbi Shul said to his Talmidim, Adayin Ben Zoma Mibachutz. Ben Zoma is still on the outside. He's still on the outs. Michti, Veruach Elkim Rachefes Al Pnei Amayim, Emas Havi B'yom Arishon. What's he thinking about? Veruach Elkim Rachefes Al Pnei Amayim is a description of the status of the world on day one. That should have nothing to do with the current reality. Havdalah Biyom Sheni Hudavai, the separation of the Mayim Elyonim from the Mayim Atachtonim, that only occurred on Yom Sheni. Dichsiv Ayim Avdu Bin Mayim L'Mayim. V'kama, and how much is that Havdalah? Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov K'melo Nima, a hair breadth of Havdalah between the Mayim Elyonim and Mayim Atachtonim. Rabbanan Amri Kiguda D'Gamla, they say like the slats on a bridge, that when they're laid down next to each other, they have to be a little bit of a distance from each other. Mazur Shavitem Ravasi Amar Kitre Glimi Deprisi Adadi, like two cloths that are spread over each other, where there's a little bit of airspace in between them. And some say like two glasses or two cups that are piled, that are stacked on each other, where there's a little bit of airspace in between them. That's the space between the Mayim Elyon and Mayim Tachtonim, but Ben Zoma is still on the outs because he's thinking about the problem the wrong way. He's bringing a raya from Pasukim Chumash about day one, when the reality is supposed to reflect the way it's supposed to be on day two. Acher kitzitz b'netios. We said about Acher that he went into the Pardes and he came out kitzitz b'netios. He came out with all the wrong thoughts and hashkafos. Alav akasav omer altiten espichal achtias b'sorcha. Mayhi, what's this about? Chaza, what happened to Acher exactly? Chaza mitatron de isyavale reshusa lemesav. He saw some sort of spiritual being up in Shemayim that had the ability to sit. Lemichtav zuchusa de Yisrael, and was sitting down and writing down Zuchuyos for Klal Yisrael. Amar and Acher said, Gemira, we have a tradition. The tradition that I've been taught is Dilamala, Lahavi lo Yeshiva, lo Sachris, lo Oref, lo Ifoy, that up in Shemayim there's no yeshiva, there is no sitting, and there's no jealousy, and there's no back of a neck, there are faces on all sides of the head, and there's no tired, there's no getting tired. But bottom line is, there's no sitting. Shemachas v'shalom beiz v'shuyos hein. So maybe this is some other God's creatures beyond the God that I've been learning about my whole life, whose creatures don't sit up in Shemayim. So they took this mitatron out and they whipped it with 60 whips of fire. Amarle, 60 lashes of fire. Amarle, my time ki chazise lo kamta mikame. Why is it that when you saw Acher, you didn't stand for him? You shouldn't have given away that you were sitting. You should have stood up so that Acher would not have been so distraught over the fact that what he saw was against the Mesorah that he was taught about. Is yavale rishus lemimchak zuchusa da Acher. So this matronisa was then given rishus to erase the zuchuyos of Acher. Yatsa baskel yam rashuv van mshovim chutz me'acher. And then a baskel came out and said, everyone could do tshuva except for Acher. Amar hol v'itr du gavr me'u'alma. So Achra said, well, obviously I'm not going to make it in Olam Haba because I was just told that everyone could do tshuva except for Acher. Leipik l'sani b'hai alma. I might as well get enjoy one world, so I'll enjoy this world. I'll enjoy my Olam Hazeh because I'm not going to get Olam Haba anyway. Nafak Achra l'tar b'sra, and then Achra went on the bad path. He went down a bad road. Now Tosa Rush writes over here that the idea of the 60 lashes is that every makkah is always supposed to be mishuleshes based on the age of Onesh. That down here in this world, the age of Onesh is when a person is bar mitzvah, when a person turns 13. So how many lashes do we give down here in this world? 39 lashes, 3 times 13. Up in the Olam HaEmes, you're only chayiv for kares if you're from age 20. So how many lashes they give up in Shemayim? They give 60 lashes. That's how he explains the number 60. That's what Tosei HaRosh says to explain the number 60. In the Sefer Yeyam, he says, it doesn't really make so much sense though, because all that, when Chazal say Bezen Shalmala is only punishes from age 20, that means that he's only punished Lamaila in this world, meaning that in Bezdin Shalmaila only punishes him while he's in Olam Hazeh from age 20. For instance, Kares, Misabide Shemayim, that he's only chayiv for those things in this world. But certainly a guy who's 13 years old and does Averos, he's going to pay for those Averos in the Olam HaEmes also. Bezdin Shalmaila will punish him in the Bezdin Shalmaila for things that he does past the age of 13. So he has difficulty understanding. That's also Rush. Now it says over here that Acher went letarbus ra'a for that reason, that he saw this matronisa that was sitting, and he was taught that there's only standing. But the Maseches Kiddushin and Maseches Chulin, it tells a different story, two different stories of why Acher went letarbus ra'a. The Gemara says that Acher saw a father tell his child, go get me some birds. And the son went up and did shiluach hakein and brought back the offspring, and the son on the way back fell down and died. So the Torah says by two mitzvahs in the whole Torah that it says leman yarichun yamecha, that a person will be zochet arichus yamim, kibur aveim and shluach hakein. And here this child was doing both in one shot, and he died on the way back. And Acher couldn't handle that, and that was it. When he saw that, he went off. And then another lashon the Gemara has is that he saw the lashon shel chutzpes amaturgeman. He saw the tongue of chutzpes amaturgeman, and that caused him to that was being dragged by a pig, and he said pezesh hipik margolios yilachich ba'afar, that this mouth that was that had gems and pearls coming off of this mouth, this chutzpah of a Torgaman, now is licking the dirt. So that's what caused him to go letarbus ra. So Yaakov Emden writes, yeah, hava hagarma. He saw a lot of times when something goes wrong, people like to pin it on, it was that event. It was the third grade Rebbe who did this to him, and that was it. That ruined him. Very often, it's not one thing. Most often, it's not there's one thing that caused someone to go off. There were several things that happened, and Acher was no exception. There were a lot of things that happened. Tosus, in fact, quotes even more stories that happened from the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says that Avuya, his father, Elisha ben Avuya was his name, his father was from the Gedolei Yerushalayim, and on the day of his bris, he invited all the Gedolei Yerushalayim, and they had them all in one place, and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua were in a different bayis. They were put up somewhere else, and everyone was eating and drinking, and they were dancing and clapping and doing, celebrating, and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua were saying, okay, they're doing their thing, let's do our thing, and they were osik in Torah. And an Eish came down from Shemayim and surrounded them, and Avuya says, what are you coming down to burn my house down? You came here and you're learning Torah, and now there's a fire in my whole house. So they said, no, Chas v'Shalom, we were just learning Torah, and this is just what happens from time to time when we learn Torah, I guess, that a fire comes down from Shemayim. So the Torah was so geshmak, so we couldn't do anything about it, the fire just came down. So Avuya said, if that's the koch of Torah, if this child will be Megadol la Torah, ani mafrisho, and since his kavana was not l'shem shemayim, that's why he wasn't niskayim in him, because he said that I'm going to be designate this child for Torah. Wow, amazing that such a koach haTorah that it causes dvarim smechim k'nesim sinai, causes such a fire from shemayim. Unbelievable! Let this child be that. But that was his motivation in the child to be a ben Torah, that he should be able to pull off these cool magic tricks. When that's the motivation, that's not l'shem shemayim. It's not going to turn out. It's not going to turn out well. Tells us also quotes from Yerushalmi another story that his mother was pregnant and she passed in front of a base of Avodah Zarah, and she smelled something from the base of Avodah Zarah, and that had some sort of impact on his on the developing fetus. Okay, so a lot of things caused Acher to become Acher. Nafak Ashkach Zona. So Acher, now that he heard he wasn't going into Olam Haba, and he decided that he was going to enjoy this world, so he went out and he found a Zona Tava, and he propositioned her. Armalei, she said to him, wait a second, you look familiar. V'lav Elisha ben Avuya at, I seem to remember a Gedolim card of you. You aren't you Elisha ben Avuya? How could this be? Akar pulga mi mishra b'Shabbos v'yavla. So it was on Shabbos, and he pulled something out of the ground on Shabbos to show that he was willing to be Mechal Shabbos. Amran, she said, ah, acher hu, must be this is somebody else. This can't be Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya is a big tzaddik, wouldn't be Mechal Shabbos. So must be that this is someone else. The Ibn Yaakov says, why when Elisha ben Avuya heard Shuvu Vanim Shovim Chutz Me'acher, did he know that it was about him? At that time, his name wasn't Acher. She's the one that named him Acher. His name was Elisha ben Avuya. How did he know that it was even about him? So he said, no, a lot of times you have that the Gemara says Chutz Me'acher for our sake, because we know who Acher is. But it probably said Elisha ben Avuya, and he knew that it was Elisha ben Avuya. But there must be a Musav out there sometimes, that when you think it's talking to you, then you'll hear things even when they're not really there. Maybe it was Chutz Me'acher, some other Acher. But if he was feeling this guilty conscience, maybe that's why it happened. But there are other reasons that are also given why his name was Acher. The Ben Yoyada says because he was Nidabek Be'el Acher. He went and attached himself to other gods, and he was Nifrad Min HaKadusha. So he's called Acher based on the other gods that he chased after. The Tashbis writes that it's because the Mice of the Zona that we have in our Gemara. Rav Nissim Gaon says, no, it's because he was Chazor La'Acharav, that he went backwards in his spiritual development. The person in his lifetime is generally expected to grow, and he went backwards in his spiritual development. So Chazal Acharav, that's why he was called Acher. And the Sefer Beis Aron says that in general, whenever you don't want to say someone's name, we just say the other guy, Yenim. You know, you don't want to say the person's name because Shem Rishon Mirkav, you don't want to mention the name of the Rasha. So you just refer to him as something else. Shal Acher Shemeir, Acher Esher Meir, Acher Shiatzal Tabriz Roy, after Acher had already gone off. What does it mean that Hashem makes things correspond to each other? One thing balanced the other thing out. Whatever Hashem created in this world, He created something to balance it. Bara harim, bara gvaos. He created mountains, but He also created valleys. Bara yamim, bara naros. Created oceans, but also rivers. It doesn't seem that those are opposites, but Rabbi Akiva, Rab Chalo Amarkach. So Acher says to Rabbi Meir, you know, your Rabbi Akiva didn't say it like that. Ella, the way he said it is, bara tzadikim, bara rishayim. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu created tzadikim, and He created rishayim to counterbalance. Bara gan eden, bara ganim. He created gan eden and created ganim. Kalechad ve'echad yesh l'beis chalakim. Everyone gets two portions. Echad b'gan eden ve'echad b'gehenim. Everyone's born with two portions. One gan eden and one gehenim. Zocha tzadik, not al chelko v'chelik chavero b'gan eden. The tzadik who zocha is going to get his own chelik in gan eden, plus somebody else's chelik in gan eden. Nischayev rasha, the rasha does bad, not al chelko v'chelik chavero b'gehenim. He gets his own portion in gehenim, plus someone else's chelik in gehenim. Amar of Mishashi, Mikro, what's the pasuk? Gabi tzadik and ksiv, l'chein ba'artza mishneh, yirshu, gabi rishayim ksivu mishneh shivron shivram. So the bottom line is, you see, it's Mishnah, it's double for both the Tzaddik and for the Rasha. The Achronim, of course, are bothered. How could a Tzaddik be Zoch in a Chelek that's not Shaykh to him? How could it be that he's stealing someone else's Chelek? So the Iyun Yaakov writes that in Olam Hazeh, a lot of times, good comes to the world in the Zechus of a Tzaddik, and the Rasha will be Nena from the good that comes to the world in the Zechus of the Tzaddik. So the Tzaddik is taking his Chelek in Olam Abba. And a lot of times, bad things happen in the world because of Rishayim, because of a punishment to the Rishayim, and Tzaddikim suffer for it. So in order to even it out, the Rasha should deserve to be punished with the chelik of Gehenim of the Tzaddik. In Beis Halevi, in his Tshuvas, in Drush Tezvav, in the Tshuvas Beis Halevi, they have the Drushas of the Beis Halevi also. He writes, if a person does an Avera, he's magbir the koach of that Avera and the desire for that Avera, the drive for that Avera in the whole world. That when a person does an Avera, that Avera gains a certain traction in this world. And the same is true lehepach. A Tzaddik, through doing good things, creates a movement toward good. It creates more of a drive in the world to do good. So it turns out that a Rasha gets a greater chelek in the Avera that the Tzaddik that the Tzaddik did as well, because the Rasha is one that brought that Avera into this world, created a greater Yetzer Hara for it, and when the Tzaddik violated that Avera, it's the Rasha's doing also, because the Rasha is the one. And the same is true in the opposite, that if the Tzaddik does a mitzvah and it causes the Rishayim to then desire that mitzvah or be more willing to do that mitzvah, it's in the zechus of the tzaddik that it happens. Shal achras Rameir lach shiyos l'tar b'sra. Another story where achras Rameir ma'idich siv lo yarchen azav uzchuchus tmrasa klipaz. Amr lo elu divrei Torah shekashen l'knosan klizav uklipaz v'noch labna kikliz uchuchus. Achras obviously bothered the pasuk to compare something to precious gems and gold and glass. Glass doesn't seem to fit the rest of the pasuk. So he said, no, it's referring to Divrei Torah because Divrei Torah have something in common with all those things. They're Divrei Torah difficult to acquire, like clay zav and clay paz, like precious gems and gold, but v'noch na'abdan k'clay zuchuchas. They can easily be lost and destroyed, like clay zuchuchas, which are very fragile. Amalo Rabbi Akiva, Rab Cholo Omer Kach. He says, no, your Rabbi Akiva didn't say that. Elema clay zav and clay zuchuchas af pish nishbru, yesh lem takana. What do clay zav and clay zuchuchas have in common? That if they break, they're fixable. Av Talmud Chacham, av Pishasarach, yesh lo takana. Acher says, you should know, the real teaching is that a Talmud Chacham that goes bad, he can do tshuva, he can become better. So Amar lo, Reb Meir couldn't resist. He said, you're telling me such a drasha, and look at you. So he says, Avatach Hazor Bach, so no, so do tshuva, it's not too late. Amar lo, kvar shamati me'achar e'apar, go tshuva v'am shav v'mchutz me'acher. Now, I already heard that Acher can't do tshuva. That's for other people. Other people could do tshuva, but not me. Tanur Rabban, ma'isa ba'acher, shahay rochev al asus b'shabbos. One time Acher was riding on a horse on Shabbos, v'yirameir mahalich achrov, l'umot Torah mipiv, and Rameir was following behind him in order to learn Torah from him. Amar lo, Meir chazor la'acheracha, shekvar shiarti b'kvi susi, ad kan tchum Shabbos. So Acher tells Rameir, you may not want to walk any further, I've been counting the footsteps of my horse, and I know that we've already hit the tchum Shabbos, now we're about to hit the tchum Shabbos, you don't want to walk past the tchum Shabbos. Amar lo, afatach hazor bach, you're giving me mussar? How about you? You also go back. You also shouldn't walk past the tchum Shabbos or do any other avera. Amar lo, v'lo kvar amarti lach kvar shemati me'achar e'pargu tshuva v'mshav v'mchutz me'achar. Maybe you didn't hear me the first time. I already heard up in Shemayim that there's no room for me, that everyone could return except for Acher. The Gemara Maseches Beitz and Daflam Vavim Beis discusses the things that are asur mishum shvus, talks about rechiv al gabi behema on Shabbos, that you're not allowed to ride on an animal on Shabbos. The Gemara says the reason is shem yachtoch zmora, that you may pull a branch off of a tree to help hit the animal. So in the Sefer Kerem Shlomo, he writes that in the name of a gadol echad, that since the reason is shem yachtoch zmora, if a person is riding and another person is mahalich, so another person is walking together with him, who could remind him not to be chotech, so if you have someone there to remind you, it's like by shem yachtoch, when you have two people using candle, one person will remind the other, then you don't have to be choshesh that shem yachtoch, you don't have to worry that he's going to cut the branch, and therefore it's going to be mutter. So he says, that's why Rameir didn't say right away that he shouldn't go on a horse. Meaning Rameir waits till to tell Acher to come back when Acher tells him that we're at the Tchum Shabbos. Why didn't Rameir tell him right off the bat, don't ride on a horse, have a little respect for me at least, try to do tshuva. So he didn't tell him right away because there was nothing wrong with him riding on a horse, as long as, maybe that's why Rameir was following behind him as he was riding on a horse, so that he could save Acher the Isser of riding on the horse. The Gemara in Erevin has an interesting suffix, a different suffix. Gemara in Erevin Mem Gimon Beis discusses where the Yesh Tchum in Lamala Me'asara, or Ein Tchum in Lamala Me'asara. If you're more than 10 Tfachim off the ground, are you subject to the limits of Tchum Shabbos, or not subject to the limits of Tchum Shabbos? The Gemara discusses if Eliyahu HaNavi could come on Shabbos because he's coming from Chutz L'Tchum, or do you say no, the Malam Me'asara, there's no Tchum, so he's allowed to come on Shabbos to herald the coming of Mashiach. So the Gemara in Erevin raises that suffix, and the Gemara is not poshet the suffix. It remains a suffix in the Gemara. So the Rishonim argue, if someone's riding on a behema that's 10 Tfachim off the ground, is he limited by the Tchum Shabbos? Or do we say that he goes Basar Ragli behema? Or do we say no, he's the Malam Me'asara Tfachim? So in the Sefer Divrei Yecheskel, he quotes on the Ramban that someone riding is not limited to Tchum Shabbos. And that's what the Beis Yosef writes. The Beis Yosef writes like this in Or Chaim Sin Reish Samach Vav, and he explains that you have to say that Rameir was telling Acher Chazor Bach, not because of the Yisr Tchumin, but because of the Yisr of Rechiv Asus, meaning almost the opposite of what we just said. That Rameir was telling Acher, when Acher said, oh, we just hit the Tchum Shabbos, Rameir said, no, you should do tshuva also, but not saying do tshuva from Tchum Shabbos, because he wasn't really violating Tchum Shabbos. He was just telling him, you shouldn't ride a horse worse on Shabbos, because that's what you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Anyway, Takvei Ayli Lebei Medrasha. So our mayor brought Acher, schlepped Acher into to Beis Medrash. Again, he was trying to inspire him. So they pulled over a kid and they said, say over a pasuk that you learned today. That was a common thing to get messages. The Ruach HaKodesh was taken from the Chachamim and given to children. Amarlo ain't shalom. The Amar Hashem l'Rashayim, that Hashem says there's no peace for Rashayim. So that was not the pasuk Rameir was looking for. That certainly strengthened Acher's resolve. Ayli lebei knisht achriti. They went to a different Beis HaKnesses. Amar lo yinuka psokli b'sukeich. They said to another kid, tell me over a pasuk. Amar lo kiim techabsi b'nesem v'tarbi lach boris nichtam avoneich lefanai. No matter how much soap and detergent you use, your Averus stain, it's a stain that's always going to be there. So again, not a very good pasuk for Rameir here. They went to another Beis Knesses. And again they said to a child, tell me a pasuk that you learned. And the child said, Va'at shadud matasi kitilbashi shani kisa di adizav that it's all going to be all your beauty is for nothing, and again anything good you do is worthless. They went to another Beis HaKnesses and kept on going on. They went to 13 different Batei Knesios. Kulu paskule ki agavnen. Every pasuk that was read had the same message that there's not going to be any tshuva for someone like Acher. Lebasra amalei psokli psukeich. The last one they said, tell me your pasuk. Amalei ulerasha amar elokim malach alasaper chuki. To a rasha we say, why are you bothering even learning my Torah? Why are you saying over my chukim? So everything one after the other was bad. Ha'u yinuka, but that last one was the worst one because have a megamgim belishne. The child didn't know how to read so well. Ishtama kamada amrlei ula Elisha amar elokim. That instead of saying ula Rasha amar elokim, that the Rasha God says mali l'sapra chukai, why are you saying over my teaching? He said ula Elisha amar elokim. So here Elisha ben Avuya hears that, and it's as if it's a direct message that Hashem is not interested in him. The Ivan Yaakov says, why is Dafka 13 Batei Knesios? He says, because that's Gematria Echad. Acher moved away from Hashem Echad, so he went to 13 Batei Knesios because Acher thought there were Shnei Rishuyos. That's when he went away from Hashem Echad. When he saw the person sitting, he said, maybe there's a Rishos Acharis, maybe there's another God that where his rules are that you're allowed to sit up in Shemaim. Rashi says that in a lot of places, the number 13, Rashi writes Masechet Shabbos, that in a lot of places, number 13 is one of the magic numbers that Chazal use when they just mean a lot. There are certain numbers that Chazal use all the time that number 70 is a number that's very common for Chazal to use. So 13 is one of those numbers. So he says 13 is Lav Dafka. In Yalkut Shimoni, it says that the Maisa was in Tveria. The story with Acher is in Tveria. The Gemara Brachos Tav Ches says that Tveria had 13 Batei Knesios. So that makes a lot of sense why they went to 13. They went to every one. They went to as many as there were. So every Beis Knesses they went to, and they ran into the same problem. Igad Amri, Sakina Havabadeh. Some say that on this last one, Acher was so frustrated already, he had a knife with him, the Kare, and he tore apart this child with the knife, v'shadri l'tzeisar be'knishti, and he sent pieces of the kid to 13 Batei Knesios. V'igadamri, others say, Amar, that he didn't actually do that, but he said, I'avoy biyadi sakina, if I had a knife in my hand, have a karana like, I would tear apart this kid. Kinach nafshei da'achar, when Acher, obviously very big difference between the two versions of the story. I mean, people say things all the time, but to actually do it, that's a little more disturbing. Kinachna, I mean, it's disturbing to say it also, but kinach nafshei da'achar, when Acher ultimately died, Amar lo meidin l'dainev lo la'alma da'asi leisei. We shouldn't judge him for Gehenim, nor should we bring him into Olam Haba. Lo meidin l'dainev, they shouldn't judge him for Gehenim mishum da'asik ba'raisa, because his Torah was gevaldik. The amount of Torah they learned was unbelievable. V'lo la'alma da'asi leisei, but can't bring him to the Olam Haba either, mishum dechata, because he sinned. Amar Rabbi Meir, mutav diladaini v'leisa la'alma da'asi. Better to judge him and bring him into Olam Haba. Masai amus, when I die, v'ela ashan mekivro, and I'll bring, meaning when I go, I'll advocate for him, and we'll make sure he gets judged, and then ultimately he'll get to Olam Haba, and I'm going to see that smoke comes up from his kever, that's going to be his kapara while he's in Gehenim. Kinach nafshid Rabbi Meir, salukutra mekivro, when Rabbi Meir died, smoke started to emerge from Acher's kever, mekivrei da Acher. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, gevurta lemikla rabbe, is that a sign of strength to be able to burn your rebbe, to make your rebbe have smoke come out of his kever? What did it be zayon? Chadav binana lo matzina la'atzulei, inakte biyad man mirmile man amar mas... Inakti biyad man mirmile man amr masay amos ve'ech ba'ashen mikivro. So he said, when I go, I'm going to be able to sneak him into to Gan Eden. I'm going to go through, and the guard is not going to stop me, so I'll be able to walk right through, and I'll go in with Acher, and then the smoke is going to stop from the kever of Acher. Kinach nafshei Rabbi Yochanan, when Rabbi Yochanan died, pasul kutra mikivrei d'Acher. Apparently, it worked. The smoke stopped from Acher's grave. When they were maspid Rabbi Yochanan, now they had a great thing to say in the hesped. Rabbi Yochanan predicted what his plan is going to be. He's going to go up to Shemayim, he's going to take Acher by the hand, he's going to walk right through the gates, and they're not going to stop you, they're not going to stop Acher as long as he's walking with Rabbi Yochanan. And it worked! That Rabbeinu Yochanan, you were such a great rabbi, that even the Shomer HaPesach couldn't stop you from bringing Acher into Olam Haba. Bito shel Acher asal kamei de Rebbe. The daughter of Acher came to Rebbe once. Amrele Rebbe Parnaseni, and she was looking for Parnasa. She was looking for some tzedakah. Amrele bas miyat. So he says to her, "Who are you? Whose daughter are you?" Amrele bito shel Acher. She says, "I'm the daughter of Acher." Amrele, he said, "Adayin yesh mizaru ba'olam. Acher still has living children in the world. Vaksiv lo nin lo v'lo nechad ba'amo vein sar b'magurav. I thought there's not going to be anything left of this Rasha. Amrele zachor l'taras aval tis." Please remember his Torah, don't remember his deeds. His Torah was great. Miyad yarda esh v'sichcha safsala shel Rebbe. A fire came down from Shemayim and burnt the bench of Rebbe. Bacha v'amar, and Rebbe cried out and said, Bacha v'amar Rebbe, umal miskan ba kach l'mishtabkun ba alachas kama v'kama. For people who did things like Acher, still you're performing such miracles. For people who are praised through the Torah, who do great things through their Torah learning, alachas kama v'kama, the great schar that they're going to get. Now, why did Rebbe ask her who she is? It's an interesting question to ask about her family lineage. She obviously was needy and she needed tzedakah. So Rebbe was a guy by tzedakah, and he was mefarnis aniyeh talmidei chacham. The Gemara Maseches Babasha, the first paragraph of Babasha, is all the tzedakah gadatas. So one of the things said about Rebbe was that Rebbe was makbid dafka to give to aniyeh talmidei chachamim. So that's why he would interview them. And he said, "Ein pronos bala olam el b'shvil amei aretz." Rebbe had a cheshbon. He said, "All the suffering that comes to the world is because of the amei aretz, so we're not going to reward the amei aretz for the suffering they bring into the world." So he wasn't interested in being mefarnes the amei aretz. So he wanted to know if she's a bas talmid chacham. So that's why she said, "Zachar l'torasov lo zachar l'masov." Remember his Torah, don't remember his ma'asim. That you should know that he had that he was a talmid chacham, and he has daughters who are tznuos, etc. So there should be something that accounts for. Rabbi Meir hechi gamar Torah mipumei. But the most fundamental question in the whole Acher story, the Gemara finally asks, what was Rabbi Meir thinking? How could Rabbi Meir learn from such a Rebbe? Mipume de Acher, from the mouth of Acher. Vamar Rabbi Bar Bachana, am Rabbi Yochanan. Don't we know the drasha Rabbi Bar Bachana says the name of Rabbi Yochanan? What does the pasuk mean when it says ki sifsei kohen yishmu das v'tori yevakshu mipiu? That sifsei kohen yishmu das, then you should be mevakish Torah from his mouth. Ki malach Hashem tzvakosu, because he's a malach Hashem tzvakos. What that pasuk means is im doma harav lemalach Hashem tzvakos yevakshu Torah mipiu. If the Rebbe is like a malach Hashem tzvakos, then you look for Torah from his mouth. V'im lav, if he's not like a malach Hashem tzvakos, al yivakshu Torah mipiu. You don't want to learn Torah from someone like that. So what's going on? How is Rabbi Meir allowed to learn Torah from Acher? Now it's interesting. Let's see the Gemara's answer. Rav Meir Shlakish, Rav Meir kra ashkach v'darash. Rav Meir had a different pasuk. He had a competing pasuk that he thought he could darshan. Pasuk says, "Hat aznecha shma divrei chachamim v'libcha tashis l'da'ati." L'da'atam lo nemar. It doesn't say l'da'atam el l'da'ati. It says l'da'ati. So apparently you can learn from people who are not so great. Rabbi Chanina Amar Me'ach, Rabbi Chanina had a different pasuk. That his pasuk was Shimi Vasu Re'i Vatios Nech V'Shichi Amei Ubeis Avich. Kashu Kraya Adadi, bottom line is, whichever pasuk you can use to say that you're allowed to learn from people who are not so great, it's a stirim psukim. You have the one pasuk about Malach Hashem Tzavakos, and you have these other two psukim that sound like you can learn from anybody, even people who aren't so great. Lo Kasha. Habagadol, habakatan. That's not a stira. There's a difference between a gadol who's doing the learning and a katan who's doing the learning. A gadol, Rashi points out, yodel izar shlo yilmal ma'isav yachol matar mipiv. A gadol is going to be able to discern between learning the Torah from him and learning how he behaves from him. So, but a katan, an impressionable younger person, or a person who's not such a gadol b'Torah, is not, doesn't stand on his own 2 feet, needs the Rebbe not just as someone to teach him the academics, not just to teach him the Torah, but needs a role model. And if he's not going to have the role model, it's going to be very troubling. So it sounds like lahalacha, what should emerge from this Gemara, is that one is allowed to learn from a Rebbe who's not a tzaddik, provided that the person, the student, is already a gadol. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah in the fourth parak writes that a rav that's eino holich b'derech tova, even though he's a chacham gadol and everyone needs him because he's such a great chacham, ein mislam din mimenu ad sheyachzor lemutav. You're not allowed to learn from him until he does tshuva, till he's chozer lemutav. Now the Rambam leaves open the possibility for tshuva, but if he does tshuva, but if he doesn't do tshuva, then you're not allowed to learn from him. Lechem Mishnah says, wait a second, that's not the maskana of the Gemara. The maskana of the Gemara is that you can learn from someone like that as long as you're a gadol. As long as you're not a katan, you're allowed to learn from someone like that. So that's a big discussion in the Achronim. Why the Rambam didn't mention the chiluk of the Gemara? The Pashas is like the Shach says on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, that the definition of gadol is such a status that we don't have that anymore. That a gadol means someone like Rabbi Meir. So someone like Rabbi Meir is allowed to learn from someone like Acher, but we don't have someone like Rabbi Meir, so it's not practical to discuss the chiluk between a gadol and a katan. That's why the Rambam doesn't mention it. The Mishnah Melech says that Bizman Azel also, that we're all considered Ketanim, and that's why the Rambam doesn't mention Gadol. But he says that it's a little bit strange to say, it's one thing to say that Pshat in Shulchan Aruch, but to say that as Pshat in a Rambam is difficult, because the Rambam didn't just write halachos for Bizman Azeh. The Rambam wrote halachos for all times. So there once were gedolim, and there once will be in the future, after Tchias Amid, there's going to be gedolim. The Rambam wrote halachos for everything. So it shouldn't really answer the Rambam perfectly. Rameir would eat the fruit and would throw the shell away, meaning he knew how to discern. He knew how to take what he needed from Acher and not to take the other parts. Why are Tamid Chum compared to an egos? It's just like an egos has a shell that protects it very well. So even if it's filthy, disgusting, is the nut on the inside of the shell is perfectly good. So Tamil Chacham, even though he turns sour, his Torah remains strong. Ashkei Rabbar Shila Leliyahu. Rabbar Shila found Leliyahu. Amalei, my cover, Kodesh Baruch Hu. What's Hashem doing right now? Amalei, Kamer Shmaiti Mipumai Dukul Rabbanim Mipumai Dereb Meir Lo Ka Amar. He's saying over Torah from all the different Rabbanim, but he's not saying over any Torah from Reb Meir. Amalei, Amai, why not from Reb Meir? Mishum to Kamer Shmaiti Mipumai Da'acher, because look who Reb Meir's Rebbe was. Why would you want to say Torah from him? Amalei, Amai, why should that be the case? Reb Meir Rimon Matza Tocho Achal Klipas Hazark. There's another Daf Yomi coincidence. We talk about a Rimon again. That Reb Meir found a pomegranate and he managed to eat the delicious part and he threw away the outer part. Amalei Hashta Ka'amar Meir Bini Omer Bizman Sha'adam Itzdar Shchina Malosh Omeres Kalni Miroshi Kalni Mizrai. So he said, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying Meir Bini Omer. Now he's quoting Rab Meir, and when the Shechina's Mitzdayer, it says how humiliating it is. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzdayer Al Domit Shal Rishayim, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has such Tzar from the Rishayim, Kal V'chomer Al Domit Shal Tzadikim, for sure the blood of Tzadikim Shenishbach that spilled unnecessarily is going to cause Hashem great Tzar as well. Ashkechei Shmuel Rav Yehuda Detali Be'ibra Didasha. Shmuel found Rav Yehuda by the doorpost, the kabachi, and he was crying. Amalei Shina, my kabachi. So what are you crying about? Amalei Mizut Shemaydich Sibu Barabanan. Aye Sofer, Aye Shokel, Aye Sofer Es Hamigadlim, Aye Sofer Shoyu Sofrim Kol Osios Shebetora, Aye Shokel Shoyu Shokum Kalim V'Chamurin Shebetora. So he says is it such a small matter that we're missing such great people, that we lost so many of the greats? Aye Sofer Es Hamigadlim Shoyu Shon Gimel Meos Halachos B'Migdal Parech Ba'Avir Hamigdalim. That Raya Sofra Magdalim, that where are the people that are able to teach about the Magdalim? That there were people who were able to learn 300 halachos about the sugya of Migdal HaPareach Ba'avir. Four shittos in Rishonim, exactly what Migdal HaPareach Ba'avir is, but some sort of complex sugya of Migdal HaPareach Ba'avir, and still the people used to be able to say 300 different pshatim in that sugya. V'amar Aviyami Tlasmei Abayi Bo Dog V'Achitofel B'Migdal HaPareach Ba'avir. Dog and Achitofel asked 300 different questions about that sugya of Migdal HaPareach Ba'avir. Utznan Gimel Malachim V'Arba Adyotos Elam Chelik Olam Abba. And nevertheless, there were only three kings and four adyotos, Adonav Chelik Olam Abba, and Doeg and Achitofel are two of them. Anan Matavi Alan. So what's going to be with us? So meaning if these great Talmidei Chacham could fall off so badly that they were such great Talmidei Chacham that 300 different pshatim and 300 different kashas and Migdal HaPareach Ba'avir, and we have nothing. So they were ended up where they ended up without Olam Haba. What's going to be with us? Amle Shinna. Tina Haisa Belibam. No, you can't learn anything from that. They had a problem with their heart. Their problem wasn't with their brain. Their problem was where their heart was. So it doesn't matter if your brain is not the same brain as Dog and Achitofel. If your heart is a stronger heart, then we could still end up in Olam Haba. Okay, but we'll pick up tomorrow morning with Acher, five lines from the bottom of the page.